Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Very important, often quoted verse is a topic for discussion this evening. The value of a moment's association with the devotee of the Lord. That verse is this evening. Tuliyama lavenapi nasvargam napunar bhavam bhagavat sanghi sangasya Martyanam Kim Patashishaha. Tuliyama Lavenapi, Lavana, by a moment. The value of a moment's association with a devotee of the Lord cannot even be compared to the attainment of heavenly planets or to liberation from matter. And what to speak of worldly benedictions in the form of material prosperity, which are for those who are meant for death. Now this is the sages of Naimisharanya speaking. The sages have been engaged in karmakanda rituals with no benefit other than the smoke produced from the fire that's blackened their bodies, which really isn't a benefit. No benefit. And they've explained, we heard this morning, that instead of this blackening of our faces program that we were in previously, you've given us something far greater than our expectation. And now they're taking that understanding and going further with it, explicitly, with karmakanda and jnanakanda. The two outcomes are worldly benefits and next life benefits for karmakanda, and liberation for jnanakanda. Right? For karmakanda's yagyas, someone wants something of this world. Or they want something in the heavenly realm, some next life attainment. At best, that's what karmakanda can provide. And that has its place. It trains, we'll say, the merits of karmakanda. It takes ordinary people who will not surrender to Krishna, who will not take the direct meaning of the scriptures, who, if asked to touch their nose, will not go like this, they'll go like this. And they just refuse to go like this. Sarvadharmam prityaja mamekam sharanam braja, and the answer is no. And so they're given something else. And that something else is where their desires can be met, while at the same time they're living their life more in the mode of goodness. That's good. They're accepting the association of a brahmana in their life. That's good. They're making voluntary contributions to the brahmana for the performance of yajna. It's very good. They're accepting the authority of the Vedas within their life, which is good. Because the Vedas are emanations from the Supreme Personality of God, and so indirectly, accepting the authority of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's good. As they're getting their benedictions in this world, they then start to think of benedictions in the next world, which is good. There's life beyond the immediate gratification. And as they start to understand there's life beyond this world, beyond this body, it gives them a hint of an idea, although indirect, that there's something that endures that's of value beyond temporary circumstances. That's good. And therefore, it's there within the Vedas. Some people ask the question, if all of this leads to entanglement in the material energy, why is it even there? Why didn't Vyas just give one thing? Just surrender to Krishna, and the rest of you fall in the ditch. Because some persons aren't going to surrender to Krishna, so there's something else that will attract their attention. And he makes their faith, Krishna within their heart, makes their faith strong. How to worship this? He says right in Bhagavad Gita. He also discloses right in Bhagavad Gita that the limited nature that the demigods can provide, the foolish nature of the persons who want those limited things. Nonetheless, it's part of the Vedic literature. It's part of what Vyas described. And it's part of what the sages of Naimisharanya were doing. Vedic yajnas. Which is good. It's more in the mood of goodness than unregulated life. And if one follows that, that's a big if. If one follows that process properly, he'll come to the next stage. And if one follows that properly, he'll come to the next stage. From the Gyanakanda section of the Vedas, Bhuvanam Janmanam Ante Gyanavamam Upadyate. Vasudev Sarvamiti Samahatma Sudurlabha. So, these sages, having heard what they've heard so far, they haven't heard the whole Srimad Bhagavatam. They just heard up till chapter 18, Srimad Bhagavatam. Their understanding, whoa, this is beyond liberation. It's beyond the expectation that we had. And as the scriptures say, a person who is able to deliver that, that association, is like getting the Lord's association. And even a moment of such association. This lavena, even a moment. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used the same word, or its corresponding word in Bengali. Sadhu sangha, sarva siddhi hoy. Lava matra. Sadhu sangha, sarva siddhi hoy. Sarva Shastri Koi. All the scriptures say this valuable Sangha. So here the term is Bhagavat Sanghi as opposed to the other term. What is the other term? Yoshit Sanghi. Materialist who's attached, the person whose sangha is that they give material association. It's called friendship. Friendship in this world is, I'm your friend because I supply you these things and you supply me those things, and that's friendship. And we have a nice friendship because I'm a very consistent supplier of these things and you're very consistent. So we have a good relationship. But if you break the contract, we got a problem in our relationship. So we may terminate the relationship. At least make a big quarrel until you start performing your goods and services that says in the contract it says. Otherwise, we don't have a relationship. It's business, mercantile mentality, Prabhupada calls it, relationship. But the Bhagavat Sanghi, having no other shelter but Krishna, and therefore delivering nothing but Krishna, those are the goods and services they render, they offer. That's your best friend. They just give everything they have, none of which is material. Again, these verses, even the language in the Sanskrit of the verse, goes back to chapter 8. Apunar Bhavam is also in Queen Kunti's prayers, for those of you that can recall. I'll read the verse. It's text 25 in chapter 8. Vipada santu ta shashvat tatra tatra jagat guru bhavato darshanam yatsyat apunar bhava darshanam. Same as in this verse. Apunar bhava bhavam. One will not see. In this verse this evening, text 13 of chapter 18, the Lavanapi, the moments association, Lavana, Sangha, moments association of Bhagavad Sanghi, takes one beyond material association. Apunar Bhavam. Not again taking birth. Take one beyond Apunar Bhavam. Beyond liberation. And in the 8th chapter, Kunti says, I wish to see all those vipadas, calamities. I wish they would happen again and again, so that I would see you again and again, for seeing you means we will no longer see repeated births and deaths. Seeing Krishna, two things equal to the same thing are equal to each other in mathematics, right? Seeing Krishna, you do your little vector, results in not seeing birth and death again. Hearing topics from the sadhu results in not seeing birth and death again. That means the topics and seeing Krishna are the same. But it's already been declared. The topics of Krishna are not different than Krishna. And the results are the same. The sages of Naimisharanya, they didn't have Krishna, Sudarshan, or we can assume. They didn't see Krishna. At least, certainly some of them didn't see Krishna. But they're indicating that Shonaka, heading the group, hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam from you, Sutta Goswami, is seeing Krishna. Because it's taking just hearing us. We can feel it. We can feel that it's taking us beyond material enjoyment, beyond heavenly enjoyment, beyond liberation. It's taking us into the spiritual world. And we're just here in Naimisharanya. It's these topics, that's the vehicle that's carrying us, coming from you. Because as they said in the first chapter, you've not only heard it, but you've assimilated it. Assimilation. Like you simulate food, assimilate food. You can eat it, then you have to digest it. Then you assimilate it in your system, and then you get strength. If you have a fever like I do, you eat something and you don't digest it, you don't assimilate it, it just makes you feel terrible. But those sages were recognizing the Sutta Goswami, he had good digestion. He understood and he applied in his life in practical ways. Using Prabhupada's phrase again, by scientific adaptation. Scientific adaptation, one sense of that is, it can be done again. Like any experiment, you go into a laboratory, you'll get the same result. Certain experiments, certain conditions, certain things, you add this and that, and you get the same result. It's a very predictable result. The being carried, the spiritual scientific adaptation is the application of these principles, if taken in the proper manner. They're very effective. Very effective. And the verse, the two verses that follow this Apunar Bhavadarshanam, which Prabhupada also repeats in the purport, as he did here, the Apunar Bhava, Apunar Bhavadarshanam. Just after that is the Akinchana Gocharam and Akinchana Trishna. That the significance of Akinchana is one has no material shelter. And Prabhupada says it in a very interesting and consistent way with this 18th chapter. Having no material shelter means you have no material things to give to other people. You have no material shelter. Even if you have things, they're not material things anymore. We give prasadam. We give things. But they're things that are in relation to Krishna, so they're no longer material because there's no shelter outside of Krishna. And one who has no, one who's this akinchana, vittaya, evritti guna vrittaye, akinchana vittaya. You don't have, I use the word akinchana, trishna. You don't have thirst for material things. Therefore, you don't have material things. So, not having material things doesn't mean, Kunti is speaking that prayer, it doesn't mean that she's a renunciate. She became a sannyasini and went off to the forest. She's a queen. Her son is a king. She's living in a royal palace. But she's a kinshina. Because those things don't mean anything to her. It's not the source of happiness. Oh, now my son has the kingdom. I'm on top of the world. Literally. He's the son. I don't even have to do anything. I'm just the queen who my son rules the world. I'm on top of the world. It doesn't mean anything to me. Better take all these things and bring calamities. Because what's valuable to Kunti? One thing, Krishna's association. It's her only shelter. And here, the sages, the Naimisharani, are saying the same about Sutta. Now he's Goswami, he's a renunciate. So, does it matter? The one who's a renunciate, one is a grihastha, one is a brahmachari, one is a vanaprastha? No. What matters is your consciousness. Now there may be more challenges being grihastha. And there's challenges not being a grihastha. Each ashram has its challenges. And its requirements. And the core of those requirements is exclusive shelter in the personality of Godhead. Otherwise one can't fulfill one's duties. One will always be pushed and pulled by duality. And move when one is pushed and move when one is pulled. Feeling relief when there's a moment in between. Only to get pushed and pulled again the next moment. Pure devotees of the Lord are engaged in a transcendental existence, namely in the loving service of the Lord, both in the material world and in the spiritual world. As a government servant is always the same, either in the office or at home or in any place. So a devotee has nothing to do with anything material, for he is exclusively engaged in the service of the Lord. Exclusive shelter. Akinchana. No other shelter. Since he has nothing to do with anything material, what pleasure can be derived from material benedictions, like kinship or over other lordships, which are finished quickly with the end of this body? This is echoing the statement of Krishna's Bhagavad Gita message that the fruits of karmakanda, the formalities of demigod worship, are limited and temporary. And those that have a real sense of the eternal soul, they don't get excited about that. Not disgusted by it, they're not attracted by it, they're neutral towards it. If it's there and if it's taken away. Devotional service is eternal. It has no end because it is spiritual. No beginning, no end. It's infinite. Or ahoituki pratyata. There's nothing that starts it. There's nothing that stops it. There's nothing material that can start it. There's nothing material that can stop it. Because it's not material. And what sparks that devotional service? It's the topics of Krishna. This is the Bhagavad message. Therefore, since the assets of a pure devotee are completely different from material assets, there is no comparison between the two. So this is going back to the statement that this na svargam, na punarbhava. You can't compare svarga, you can't compare liberation to devotional service because there's no points of similarity. You can compare things that have some points of similarity. It's in another dimension. You can say one's happy. You can say that it's eternal. But it's another kind of happy, and it's a far different kind of eternal, the conception of eternality, of merging with the state of oneness with the Supreme. Can't even compare to the happiness of engaging in devotional service. And that person who's engaged in devotional service, the very advanced soul, who is so engaged, they don't mind if they're in heaven or hell or in the spiritual world. Right? Lord Shiva describes like that to Parvati. We discussed this verse in the sixth canto. Svarga, apavarga, narakeshu, apituyarta darshana. He sees them the same. So when Chitraketu was told by Parvati, I curse you, you become a demon and have a hellish existence. His mind was not influenced. Wait a minute, that wasn't fair. You misunderstood Parvati, wait a minute. Okay. Apito yarta darshan. Narayana paraksarge nakutashana bibhiti. So, nasvargam napunar bhavam. What is that valuable thing? Bhagavat Sanghi Sangasya. The person who is in association or related to Bhagavan, I want that association. Bhagavat Sanghi Sangasya. Martyanam Kim Utashinaha. What to speak of worldly benedictions? I'll give you some money. One of Prabhupada's disciples, Giriraj Maharaj, his father, some of you probably already know this description, he was a very wealthy man, and when his son became a devotee, he thought, oh, this is a phase, he'll get over it. And he didn't get over it. He continued in devotional service. And he came with the group of Prabhupada's disciples that first came to America, came to India in 1970. And after some time became the president of the Juhu Temple when there was all that struggle over the land, all of this skullduggery and all of that stuff. And here Raj Maharaj is not a materially clever person, he's just a pure person. But he stuck it out. He served Prabhupada very, very faithfully. So one time his father came to visit, and his father met with him privately, and his father said, I'll give you $1 million if you leave this organization tomorrow. $1 million. He said, no, thank you. I mean, he could have taken $1 million and left the organization and gone back to the organization, but he's an ethical person. He would never do that. No, thank you. Material benediction? Marjanam kim utashina utashishaha. No, thank you. Heavenly planets? No, thank you. What about liberation? No, thank you. Mystic powers? No, thank you. Bhagavat Sanghi Sanghasya. In real life, real time, not just, you know, storybook stuff. He had such love for Prabhupada. Has such love for Prabhupada. Once Sansrup Marsh liked to tell the story that he was at 26 Second Avenue. Sansrup Marsh was a social worker before he was married, and that was before he took sannyas. He was a social worker. He had a job with the city of New York, and almost his whole paycheck went to cover Prabhupada's expenses for his apartment. And he had some spare time, and so in his spare time, he did transcriptions. Prabhupada would dictate into a little cassette recorder. He would transcribe and give the typed version. Simple service. But he cherished that service because he was hearing, and he knew that Prabhupada was going to use this for publication work. He felt very intimately connected to the heart of Prabhupada's mission. So I can't remember exactly how it went, but something to the effect that he came one day, as usual, to give Prabhupada the cassette back and the typed material back. And Prabhupada just looked him in the eye and said, went something like this in the exchange. Prabhupada just said very simply, you love me, I love you. And Sansrup Marsh just fell to the ground, paying his obeisances, weeping. Because he understood that Prabhupada knew his heart. He was doing it just out of love for Prabhupada. Well, you know, he gave whatever he had. He gave his money, he gave his service, he gave his ability. He was giving from his heart. And with that, Prabhupada accepted him. There's some other circumstances surrounding the thing. But it obviously made a very indelible mark in Sansrup Marsh's life, his consciousness. As with many other persons who have completely dedicated their lives to the service of their spiritual master, that Bhagavat Sanghi Sanghasya gives one the experience of a connection with Krishna, which apunar bhavadarshanam and beyond. The Therefore, since the assets of a pure devotee are completely different from material assets, there's no comparison between the two. Very important verse. Often quoted verse. Text 13, chapter 18. Just a moment's association. The personality of, next verse. Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, Govinda, is the exclusive shelter for all great beings. Here we are, exclusive shelter again. This is a familiar message. Exclusive shelter means no other shelter. Full shelter, like the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Shelter, nothing but shelter, and no other shelter. Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, Govinda, is the exclusive shelter of all great living beings. And his transcendental attributes cannot even be measured by such masters of mystic powers as Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma. What about Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma? They take shelter of Krishna. And their mystic powers cannot measure Krishna's mystic powers. Even if they try. And Lord Brahma tried. And he realized, that was a boo-boo, I shouldn't have done that. Due to pride, I was measuring my mystic powers against Krishna's mystic powers. How foolish, how offensive. The mention of Lord Shiva here in the purport is the common reference of his drinking the ocean of poison. Who can do that? We can't take a micro grain of poison and survive. But to speak of an ocean of poison, Lord Shiva can do that. Lord Shiva, who can do that, cannot measure the extent of the mystic powers of Yogeshwara, Krishna, Govinda. That's the statement in the verse. Can anyone who is expert in relishing nectar, rasa, ever be fully satiated by hearing topics about him? This is the sages. What they're saying is more. They're just saying it in a very nice way. You've said so much. You said you've explained everything about Maharaj Parikshit. More. More. Can anyone be satiated? The extent of Krishna's greatness cannot be measured. Please, tell us more. Tell us more. The sages are very expert. And throughout the Bhagavatam, this is another, for those that like to relish the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's important to note that Maharaj Parikshit is like, he's not only the king, but he's the king of relishers of rasa. He knew how to ask questions. There are several times when it appears he's asked a set of questions and they're answered, and it looks like Srimad Bhagavatam is over. Because Maharaj Parikshit, he asks a whole other wave of questions. And they're not like left field questions, they're right on the subject of what he's spoken about. That he expands the topics of Bhagavad Katha by suitable questions, and sure enough, topics expand because there's no limit to them. Prabhupada once described, I can't recall the number, Bhagavatam here is 18,000 verses, and in the heavenly planets, somebody knows the number of verses in the heavenly planets of the Bhagavatam?
1.4 million.
It's a big number. Can't wait, huh? Maybe BBT will do a translation or something. Get an import from Heavenly Planets. Publish it. We will. Topics and topics and topics about Krishna. With spiritual potencies that just hearing them This is what this section is saying. The value of what's now happening, that is hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, the sages got it. Whoa, this is really something. Far beyond any something we ever knew before. It's far beyond anything that it attracted Shukadeva Goswami, who's not attracted to anything material. And the sages, headed by Shaunaka, they're able to appreciate because of their receptivity, the quality of their hearing. The Lord is unlimited, and His name, attributes, pastimes, entourage, variegatedness, etc. are unlimited. And those who relish them can do so unlimitedly and still not feel satiated. Prabhupada quotes the Padma Purana. Ramante yogino anante satyananda chiratmani iti rama padena sao param brahma vidiyate. Prabhupada liked that. Ramante yogino anante satyananda chiratmani iti rama padena sao padena sao. The mystics derive unlimited transcendental pleasures from the Absolute Truth, and therefore the Supreme Absolute Truth, the Personality of God, it is also known as Rama, the reservoir of all pleasure. Rama. Ramante. Yogino Anante. Satyananda Chidatmani. Iti Rama Padena Sao. Param. Brahma vidyate. Or, in regular language, there's no material satiation, there's no satiation. As with material topics, there's the law of satiation. Enough. Had enough to eat. I'm tired. I've done enough playing. Whatever it is. Done enough studying. Had enough. I'm satiated. With spiritual topics, there's no satiation. One may get tired and need a little rest, a little prasadam, and continue. But that's not satiation. That's attending to bodily necessities. But there's no satiation. It's on the spiritual platform. That's the message. Don't stop now. You're only in the first canto. Please continue with these topics of Krishna. They're a good audience. So Sutta continues to speak. Okay. Any discussion? Questions? Yeah.
Even the Vaishnavas perform karmakanda.
Describe.
The samskara perform the karma. Karmakanda section.
We observe a codicil, which is in the Karmakanda section too. The purpose behind those things is different. It's the consciousness behind the activity. You observe Karmakanda samskara. It's done in a different way, the consciousness is different. The samskaras, they're there. They're purificatory practices. So we should be very careful to not borrow from something over there, but to follow the Vaishnava line of what are our tantras? What are the rituals that we observe and how do we observe them? And those rituals are replete with names of Vishnu. And the Karmakanda tantras aren't. They're replete with names of devas and invoking auspiciousness from the favor of those devas to bestow material benedictions. So, same with the codicil, same as observing sacred days. Different consciousness. As It's like studying Sanskrit. The Lord Chaitanya, when he was a teacher, after he became a Vaishnav, he began teaching Sanskrit just with names of Krishna. And Jiva Goswami picked up on it. He wrote a whole grammar book just based on names of Krishna. So for the education of the child, that's material. But it can be spiritualized. So that one has access to the Vedas, but access to the Vedas isn't based upon scholarship, based upon devotion. So the approach, there seem to be parallel things, but they're worlds apart. There's Devi Bhagavat, and there's Srimad Bhagavat. Bhagavat Purana. The results are very different.
The reason I ask is sometimes for a particular in the Karma Kanda there are doshas that a particular person may have, which prayaschittas are mentioned. So Vaishnavas can take up some things like that in the same spirit of devotion to the Lord.
I'd have to see the particulars. And that's an area, quite likely I would have to refer to those that are more expert in that area of service, like Krishna Kshatra and Gaur Keshava and people like that. Cultivate a taste for hearing. Do a lot of it. The taste for hearing, what is the first chapter, first canto, chapter 2 say about developing a taste for hearing? There's a specific verse. One who renders service. The other verse? Go ahead. No. You render service unto a devotee of the Lord. That rendering of service unto a devotee of the Lord helps develop taste for hearing the topics about the Lord. And the first response that I gave is from Haridas Thakur, the lack of taste is due to offense, and the eradication of offense, one standard instruction that Haridas Thakur gives is just chant a lot, chant continuously. Carefully guard against offenses, all of the 10 offenses against chanting of the holy name, the process of hearing. And as far as possible, hear. If possible, continuously chant. There's a devotee I know in America, Prabhupada disciple, who was a householder. He fulfilled his duties as a householder. He raised his family and his daughter got married, and he wanted to observe Vanaprastha. That was fine with his wife. And so he's now keeping a very simple job. He works about 2.5 hours a day and just subsists. He chants 64 rounds a day. He's been doing that for like 8 years. So I've asked him, what's it like chanting 64 rounds a day for 8 years? And this is the continuous chanting message. I mean, that's a serious commitment. Ever tried to chant 64 rounds? Janmashtami. Next Janmashtami, you can think about it. Gaur Purnima is coming up. That's Friday. Janmashtami. See if you can, but give some consideration to that. Chant 32 rounds. And then think about doubling it. Chant 64 rounds. When you do something like that, what to speak of every day? After day, after day, after week, after month, after year. Something starts to happen. What he described as the distractions of the mind, even after doing this for years, you would say the mind proposed you have to do this, you have to do that. Just ignore the mind. Just bring the mind to the holy name. To your association is the holy name. The noise of the mind subsides. He does what he has to do. And he's maintaining himself. Lives very quietly. A little bit of a hermit. Hermit, you know the meaning? A recluse, very private person. But he comes to the temple and chants in the temple. Part of his 64 rounds. He's not like that. So, that's one of the ways of developing a taste, is just do a lot of it. Overcome offenses. Serve the devotees of the Lord. Nashtra prayesha vajishu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati bhutamu shlokya bhaktir bhavati nashtra. Don't do another. When you do the chanting and hearing that you do, do it in a qualitative way. Don't be a clock puncher. I put in my 2 hours for chanting. I put in my 20 minutes for reading. But chant and read as if your life depended upon it, because it does. Your spiritual life depends upon it. And if you take that up in a qualitative way, try to, as Prabhupada says, try to enter deeply into the spirit of this hymn when he's speaking of the Govindam prayers as a regular daily function. Try to enter deeply into the spirit of this hymn. In a qualitative way, whatever the hearing and chanting that you do, try to take it up where you're making your Krishna connection. And every day, every day, every day, that's my Krishna connection. It becomes, you really look forward to it each day. And when you're looking forward to it each day, you start to wonder, how did I ever not do this? How does anybody not do this? How do they survive? I've thought that thought many times. How do people do it? Krishna gives them a big, thick covering. Big layer of mode of ignorance, so they can withstand the whole thing. Which means then they can't understand anything subtle, like spirit. Or higher sentiments. They can't experience love, they can experience lust. Unfortunate. That's what the modes of nature are for, to cover. And just right on the meaning of the verse that we read, Sarva Siddhi Hoy, Sadhusanga, Sadhusanga, Sarva Siddhi Hoy, Lava Matra, Sadhusanga, Sarva Shastri Hoy. Actually, it's the other way around, but to speak of all spiritual perfection comes from that valuable association, sadhu. That's right.
How to take the association
properly? Well, these how-to questions kind of where my mind goes when I hear how-to questions, it's by the process of Krishna consciousness. That's how-to. What's the eligibility for someone? Nectar devotion question. You've read Nectar Devotion. What's the eligibility for a candidate for devotional service? What's the eligibility? What's the answer? Huh? Okay, what else? Just a specific. Rupa Goswami indicates specific. No, this is nectar devotion, not nectar of instruction. Someone. Okay, that's the general message of the entire nectar devotion. But there's a chapter in nectar devotion that's called Eligibility of a Candidate for Devotional Service. That verse is not found in that chapter. That comes in the very beginning. Yeah.
Unflinching protection for Krishna.
Huh?
Unflinching protection for Krishna.
Yeah. It's sincerity, and he also uses the word greed, lolium. Basically, it's you want it. Who's eligible for devotional service? You want it. You sincerely want it. I may not have attraction for Krishna, but I want or more removed. I want to have that attraction for Krishna, etc. But sincerely, that's the how-to. Once you get started, you can continue. Just fan that spark of sincerity. And it burns off all the impurities, all the other things. All the other things. I'm not at the stage where I can take the association of advanced devotees properly. I sincerely want to come to that stage. That's the how-to. And then, these other, let me serve that person. Let me hear from that person. Let me carry out the instructions of that person. Tadviti pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya. Upadekshantite gyaninas tattva darshana. There's the how-to. But I'm not going to pranipat or prashna or seva, unless I want to. I have a sincere desire to do that. If I don't have a sincere desire to do that, I might go through the motions, but the essence is never there. I don't take proper advantage of the association. I stay in the same position, treading water. After some time I get tired. I want to take a break. But But if I'm continuing to progress, there's no satiation. If you understand how the thing begins, you can understand how the thing continues. That's where your attention should go. Just like conversely, how did we get into the material world to begin with? You understand that? There's the door. That's how we got into this room. There's where we have to get out. Turning our attention away from Krishna. How do I turn my attention again to Krishna? Understanding that you got into this predicament by turning your attention away, so you turn your attention to Krishna. And there's plenty of opportunities. If you're sincere, there's so many opportunities to turn your attention to Krishna. They're abundant. Well, how do I do it? Find exemplary persons who are doing it and just follow them. I want to do it a different way. I'm an individual. Or whatever. But I'd like to, but I got this pride. It's really hard. Get over the pride. Become humble. How do I become humble? Just the endless. There's a process. You're in this place that is nasty. I want to be with Krishna. Not just I want to get out of this nasty place, or I want an upgrade to a better nasty place. I want to be with Krishna. And that's the message of the sadhus. So that we take that message, live by it. And all the how-tos fall into place. Prabhupada ki